Well, by now, we all know that this is Pentecost Sunday. Praise be to God. When the Spirit of the living God came down upon the believers gathered together that day. But it's also a number of other days. It's Sunday. And being Sunday, we know that we always celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday. Easter is not the only time we celebrate his resurrection. In fact, if there was no resurrection, there'd be absolutely no need for you and for me to worship together today. We worship because we serve a risen Savior. And the risen Savior is Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise be to him. Also, today is a communion Sunday. At the end of our service, you are invited to join us around the Lord's table. And also, it's a Sunday not only of baptism, but of great blessing. A great blessing because you and I, over the past period of time, we have been looking at the Beatitudes. Now, you've heard me say before that one popular radio television evangelist used to call them the B-E attitudes. And it's the Beatitudes. And we also discover with the Beatitudes that these are not just a collection of random sayings. Rather, they are built precept upon precept. And as we read these Beatitudes together, you and I can find that we will learn a great deal from them. They speak to our hearts. These were words given by Jesus to his followers. Now, we're going to see that in the scripture. But I want to read, first of all, from Acts chapter 2. Now, I know Pastor Nate read this morning, but I'd just like to read it again. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, so remember the Jews used to celebrate Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to have a second scripture reading this morning, but as I heard Pastor Nate read it earlier, and as I read it just now, I kept thinking how wonderful it would be if God's Holy Spirit just descended upon this congregation, and whether there were tongues of fire or not, just the very fact that his presence would be here. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is within every single believer that's here this morning. That I understand. If you're not a believer, the Holy Spirit isn't within you. But he is knocking at the door of your heart, and he wants you to confess your sin and to confess Christ as Savior and Lord. But how wonderful it would be if there was a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit upon this congregation so that we could effectively minister to one another and we could reach out to the world around us. Believe me, the world around us requires Jesus. They don't know it, but they need Jesus. They don't know what their eternity is. They think maybe they're all going to end up in heaven anyway, but we know that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us that narrow is the road that leads to heaven, leads to glory, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And so there will be many, many people who are going to absolute destruction in the place called hell. You and I don't want that for our family members. We don't want it for our friends or neighbors. You and I need to be empowered by God's Spirit to share him. Second Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 5, verses 1 to 5. Now, very familiar passage, let us again hear the word of God. Now when he, that is Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now hear this. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Believers the world over are very special people. In fact, Peter, in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 9, gave quite an instruction as to whom we really are. He says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a nation of people." Then he uses the words, "a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, you and I need to think back upon our own conversion. At our conversion time, whenever that was, young or old, we were called out of the world of darkness and into his marvelous light. The light of Christ finally dawned in our heart, dawned in our mind, dawned in our spirit and soul, because we knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And so, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. The world is still in darkness. Unbelievers are still in darkness, and they need to be called to his marvelous light. The first part of that scripture says, you are a chosen generation, and then you are royal priesthood. Some people have said that once we accept Christ as Savior, we have the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins, which makes us a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, believers throughout the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is not one particular denomination. The Church of Jesus Christ is everyone throughout the world, ages past, present, and future, if the Lord tarries, who place their trust in Jesus as Savior. We are the church and part of the church of Jesus Christ. We are that holy nation. And then he says a peculiar people. Interesting that today we use the word peculiar differently than they used it when this translation came along, when it was first written. The word peculiar today means, if I said you're really peculiar, that would seem to you that I'm thinking you're kind of odd. But that's not what is meant by this. What other translations say, that your own special people or a people belonging to God. We are people with certain characteristics, and those characteristics are the characteristics of Jesus. Now, you and I may not represent Jesus 100% like we should, but the older we get, the more we grow in our spiritual journey, the more we walk that spiritual journey, coming closer and closer to the Lord, we become more like Jesus. And in so doing, becoming like Jesus is what will attract others to come to him. We are people belonging to God all because of Jesus. We have placed our trust in him, in who he is and what he has done. And we now belong to him, and we are special people. Praise be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When I say you're a peculiar bunch, I mean by that, this is characteristic. You are a special people in God's sight. Yesterday, we remember and celebrate our blessed Savior's life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the fact that he's coming again. Further reminded, not only of his gift of salvation, but also of his gift of the Holy Spirit. So every single believer receives God's Holy Spirit when they put their trust in Jesus. That's what Pentecost is all about. The receiving of the Holy Spirit, in many ways, we ought to be giving the Lord a very loud shout of praise. Now, in addition, we remember and we celebrate that because of our Lord's indwelling Spirit, he also blesses us when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what today's scripture is all about. That passage, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now you'll notice there's a condition. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, we will be filled. Now what that means is this. We need to know that we have a great need of Jesus as our Savior. We need to understand that on our own, we are in spiritual poverty. And finally, when we reach the point where we repent of our sin and invite Jesus into our life, place our full trust in him, then and only then are we open to the blessings that God provides for us, the blessings that we find in the Beatitudes. When we meet the condition, then we will receive the promised blessing. To move from the unsaved state to the saved state is more than just repeating a simple prayer. Yes, sometimes it's called the sinner's prayer. Sometimes it's called the prayer of salvation. It means more than that. That's important that we do that because that verbalizes what's in our mind, heart, and soul. But really, what we need to do, we need to understand that it is a complete change that's taking place in our life when we turn to Jesus, when we put our trust in him. Now, a very familiar passage of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Let me share it with you. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Notice it takes the heart, mind, soul, spirit, and the voice. The heart and the voice. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then goes on and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what the resurrection is all about. There are people who claim to be Christians who have a great deal of difficulty in believing in the resurrection because it doesn't happen every day. It only happened once for one to be resurrected, and that was Jesus, to live forever and forever. But that is true for you and for me. When we die physically, spiritually, we do not die. We go to be with the Lord. And one day, we will be, our old bodies will come back and be brand new, along with our spirit, soul, mind, and personality, and we'll be with him forever and forever. But we need to believe in our heart, and we need to confess with our mouth. It means there's a turning going on in our life. We are repenting. Repenting means we turn from the old way of life, and we turn to the new way of life. That's what it is all about. The heart, the mouth, the mind, the soul, and spirit are all involved. It calls for true repentance and for true belief that Jesus is indeed Lord. Not only that he died, buried, rose again, ascended, but also he's coming back again. You and I need to look forward to his return. And you've heard me say it many times before. Believe me, friends, the time of his reappearing is getting closer and closer. Now, as we take a look at this particular beatitude, first of all, we're going to look at the intensity of desire. In using the words hungering, Jesus was not just referring to the kind of a hunger that we have perhaps midday, and we'll try to get a midday snack. No, he's not talking about that kind of hunger, something much deeper than that. Or those who thirst for righteousness, he's not talking about just being thirsty that we can take a drink of water and then all of a sudden our thirst is assuaged. We don't need to worry about it anymore because this will come back to us again. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing, and it is, as the deer panteth for water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. First verse, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone, Jesus, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. This comes from Psalm 42. David wrote that psalm. Perhaps you read the Daily Bread this week and you saw something in there about this particular passage of Scripture, talking about the heart, the deer, panting after water. There have been various interpretations of this. Some have felt that it was just a thirsty deer. But others believe that here was David, who was used to hunting, and perhaps even he had found a deer, and he shot it with his arrow, and the deer desperately needed water, and it got to a river, and it just panted for the water, and finally got to the water, and was able to satisfy the thirst that he had. That's the kind of thirsting and hungering that we need to have after Jesus. I read a story recently of a missionary and family who were in Africa, and they were traveling from one place to the other. Sadly, they were going at a time between the rainy season and the dry season. They had many miles to go. It was a family plus a number of runners and bearers to carry the equipment to get from one tribe to the other. And halfway there, they ran out of water, and they were in desperate shape. Their tongues were actually sticking to the roof of their mouth. There was no water coming at all. The bearers or the runners went out into the area, and they found leaves and roots of plants. They brought them back so people could get a little bit of moisture from the leaves or from the grass or from the roots. And so this was somehow looking after a little bit of the thirst that they had. But then they still couldn't find any more water, and they were ready to die. Now, medical science tells us that without food, we can live between 9 and 21 days. But in terms of water, it's very difficult to live beyond 3 days without water. They were well beyond the 3 days without a drink of water. And so finally, this missionary, he got down on his knees. He gathered everybody together, and he said this, I, your servant, in the name of your strong son, the Lord Jesus Christ, command that you send rain from heaven. Did you hear that? commanded the Lord to send rain from heaven. It's not often that people, you, me, anybody else, would be bold enough to command the Lord for anything. But yet, this was his prayer. He felt he had nothing else that he could do. They were ready to die. And therefore, this reading says this: within seconds, clouds gathered from out of nowhere, lightning flashed, thunder roared, and in a matter of moments, there was such a downpour that all were able to fill every receptacle and have sufficient water for all to drink and to get to their destination. Absolutely incredible, but there was a thirst that was going on that couldn't be satisfied at that stage, and they needed water, and they came to God. I also think of the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, you know his story well. He got his inheritance early from his dad. He went off to a far country, and he spent all the money he had. While he was spending the money, he had lots of friends. But as soon as he was without money, his friends left him. He was destitute. He was desperate. He was all alone. He hitched up with another to a farmer, a pig farmer, and he found himself in the pig trough along with the pigs, longing for even what the pigs could eat. Now, when you think for a young man who seemed to have everything going for him, all of a sudden ending up in a pig trough, that is really incredible. But also, when you think of a young Jewish man, that they weren't to be anywhere near pigs. They weren't allowed to eat pigs in any way. This was even worse for him. Then he had this desire in his heart. He knew that he had sinned before God the Father, and he knew that he sinned before his own earthly father, and he desired to go back to be with his dad, back to be with his father. He had that thirst, that hunger to get back into what he had. That's the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus is talking about, that you and I would look for righteousness, to live a life of righteousness. The longing for righteousness that is only found in Jesus. No other place, no other person, only found in Jesus. The intensity of desire, and then there is the insatiability of desire. Insatiable meaning unquenchable, just impossible to satisfy. When we're hungry and thirsty from a physical standpoint, we are satisfied by eating or drinking something. Mind you, that's only temporary, because a few hours will go by and we get hungry and thirsty again, and we need to add a little bit more. Physically, hungering and thirsting are very good signs of our health. If we're hungry and we're thirsty, that's good. When we are naturally hungry and thirsty, it indicates we are in good health. But in contrast, if a person has no appetite, has no desire for drinking something, then we know there's something wrong. And if it's not wrong, it's not quite right. Something's going on within our body. On the spiritual level, we can make the same observation. If we seek, or at least if we continue, to not be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, if we cease to hunger and thirst after righteousness, in practical terms, that means that we've ceased praying, we've ceased reading the Word of God, we've ceased coming to church. It's amazing, isn't it, how we can find all sorts of reasons as to why we shouldn't pray today, shouldn't read God's Word today, shouldn't come to church today. We have all these reasons that come in our mind, and their excuses are just go on forever and forever. Yet I'm reminded of the scripture that says, do not forget the assembling of yourselves together. So praise be to God that we can assemble together and we can worship collectively. We have this desire to come into the house of the Lord to learn something, to learn a little bit more. Physically, when we have no appetite or thirst, there's something wrong. Spiritually, if we have no hunger, have no appetite, and we're thirsty, we're not thirsty, there's something wrong. Sadly, in our world today, we discover that many people look for other things to satisfy their hunger and satisfy their thirst. Pleasure, power, popularity, prosperity. In fact, many of us seek that in certain ways. But it ends up being, to what depth do we seek this? The depth ought to be spiritual satisfaction. The depth ought to be into the hands of the Lord. The depth ought to be, Lord, I want to learn more about you. I want to become more like you. I want to have the compassion that you have for others. I would like you to give me that compassion so that I can reach out to others. I want to be in your word daily. Even if we took a verse a day, memorize it, yes, but read it, yes, and just allow it to work in our hearts. That would be a praised God item. What was it that this beatitude said? It said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to learn more about him? Do you want to get deeper and deeper into his word? Do you have that kind of feeling in your mind and your heart and your soul? Then if you do, the scripture says, Jesus says, you will be filled. You will be filled. I believe that every single believer ought to worship regularly, at least once a week, ought to be in a Bible study regularly, at least once a week, ought to be doing something in the name of Jesus at least once a week. We should all be doing those things, consciously doing them, so that we are in the Word and we are listening to the Word and we are applying to the Word. And in keeping with this being Pentecost Sunday, we are allowing God's Holy Spirit to operate within us and reach out to others. Do you have an intense desire for the truths of God's Word? Do you have an insatiable desire for the truths of God's Word? Are you prepared to open your life to the full power of God's Spirit in your life? Father, we praise you. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. We thank you for the blessing of salvation and the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Salvation and your Holy Spirit are both a gift, both a gift. They cannot be earned. They are not deserved. They only come to those, Lord Jesus, who decide within their heart and soul to put all of their trust in you. My prayer is that all who are gathered together today, that each of us, we've placed all of our trust in you, and we are relying upon your Holy Spirit to lead us day by day, hour by hour. In your precious name we pray. Amen.